So fast food has transformed the U.S. retail economy. We know that. It's transformed its workforce and America's diet. A new study by the Hamilton Project is looking at why fast food costs less than healthier fresh food options and why the economic incentives of fast food make it difficult for people to use their food stamps to make ends meet and to have a healthy diet. After running a series of pilots in Massachusetts, this pilot study found that if those on food stamps could actually get a rebate of 30 cents for every dollar of fresh fruits and vegetables they buy, there might be a significant increase in the consumption of food and vegetables for people on limited incomes. The study has been authored by Diane Schanzenbach, associate professor in the School of Education and Social Policy at Northwestern University. Diane, welcome.
Thanks so much.
How much did this surprise you, and what do you think the need is here, the unmet need here for changing the diet or adjusting the diet of people on limited incomes?
You know, I'm an economist by training, so I wasn't particularly surprised to learn that people respond to prices. So what we've seen over the last 20 or so years is the relative price of healthy foods has gone up compared to less healthy foods like fast food options and things like that. Now, a whole bunch of dietitians and nutritionists, people like that, say, oh, no, it's not as simple as we need to reduce the prices of fresh fruits and vegetables. We have to do all these other things. So in response to that, the Department of Agriculture ran this pilot project that gave 30-cent incentives for food stamp recipients to purchase fresh fruits and vegetables. And what they found was people really respond to prices, just like sort of Econ 101 teaches.
Now, you know, there's been a philosophical issue here in the food stamp program going back to the very, very beginning that, you know, what is it? Is it basically a subsidy program, an income transfer program, or is it a behavior modification program, in which case there's all these sort of social engineering incentives in there that are trying to countervail other incentives in the economy? I mean, can you really, with a set of incentives on food stamps, fight the fact that, you know, dollar meals at McDonald's with advertising and marketing are going to be options that are the low-hanging fruit for people on limited income?
I mean, you make a good point there, you know, for sure. You know, we see that with working families, it's very, very hard to make ends meet, to put food on the table. And, you know, families don't have time to cook healthy meals from scratch. But that's a good opportunity for public policy to come in and reduce the prices, try to make it easier for people to make healthy choices.
What policy would you design here that would give maybe broader benefits to people outside of the Massachusetts pilot program?
I think that based on the results of the Massachusetts pilot program, this is ready to go to prime time. I'd like to see us expand this incentive program to food stamp recipients nationwide, provide a 30-cent rebate for every dollar that they spend on fruits and vegetables. And what we would expect to see based on the pilot study results is that consumption of fruits and vegetables will go up by about 25% among this population.
Based on the Massachusetts study, who administers the, what qualifies as fruits and vegetables? I mean, you get into the, you know, ketchup is a vegetable kind of categorization stuff whenever the government gets involved, and I can already hear some of the criticism.
That's a good point. Ketchup does not count as a vegetable in this example. They had a very strict list of what counted as a fruit or vegetable. Even white potatoes did not count, but it was only, you know, things that I think we would all agree are fruits and vegetables with no added salt, no added fat. So I think everybody agrees that these are healthy options. I think that, you know, I could be pushed to say, well, we could add a few more things to the list. But the list as it stood was very strict. And what we found was, you know, that people purchase more fruits and vegetables if they're made to be less expensive.
Did you control for the fact that the availability of fruits and vegetables, the sort of food desert problem for people living in low-income urban areas, might make it very, very difficult to actually increase the cost of driving that much farther to get the kinds of produce that you're talking about here for the rebate?
That's right. That's right. You know, people have been very concerned about food deserts. And I think that one of the ways to make sure that more fruits and vegetables are available to people is to, you know, make sure that they're demanding them. And a good way to make them, you know, demand them from their local grocery stores is to, to improve the incentives to purchase them. I'll also remind you that the way that the food stamp program is operated, in order for a a store to be eligible to redeem food stamps, they have to stock a variety of products, including fruits and vegetables.
All right. Now, I don't want to – you're an economist. I don't want to push you out of your comfort zone too much here, but we began this hour talking about the strike of fast food workers around the country and their demands for higher wages and that sort of thing. And, of course, there's fast food prices, you know, dollar meals. Things are very, very low, and the incentives to buy fast food are you know, well built into the economy. What do you think the impact is on people's diets of the fast food industry over time?
You know, the research on that question has been really inconclusive. You know, for better or worse, you know, we do see that people, you know, consume more fast food. And I think, you know, most of us would agree that it's probably not the greatest thing to consume most or all of your meals from that source, which is why I think it's really important to make sure that low-income families have enough resources that they can make healthy choices, that they can purchase fruits and vegetables and healthy meals.
And one of those economic ironies, a lot of those low-income families have jobs working in the fast food industry. Diane Schonzenbach, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Diane Schonzenbach is Associate Professor in the School of Education and Social Policy at Northwestern University. And 52% of families of fast food workers are enrolled in one or more public assistance programs like food stamps, as we were talking with Diane about. That's compared to 25% of the workforce as a whole. Today, fast food workers are on strike in cities across the country, demanding higher wages. What's your response?
This is Ethan Denault from Tampa, Florida. The most important problem with the $15 minimum wage is that although it sounds good emotionally, someone has to pay for it. Ultimately, the success of fast food is its cheapness, and I'm not sure that the public would be willing to see the dollar menu triple or quadruple in price. In the end, the very people helped by a minimum wage hike will be the ones hurt.
That's one economic view. In Walnut Creek, California, you say, as someone who works in the service industry, these wages are important for living. Without a fair wage, workers cannot survive. Tell us what you think, economically speaking, or talk about your concept of economic justice at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Follow us on Twitter, at The Takeaway, all one word.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.